That I see you hop aboard. We'll get back to the phones here in a few minutes. Right now, though, we have to talk to Elliot Shore Parks, 94WIP.com, as we're getting close here to the crux of everything in terms of the Eagles offseason. And some news went down today that does impact the Eagles. Elliot, how you doing, man?
Joe, can I tell you how excited I am to be on with you tonight?
Well, and listen, the people can hear it. We know in your voice when you're ready to be here. That checked out.
I pressed pause on The Bachelor tonight. Just starts at 8 o'clock. Press pause just for you. That's how excited I am to talk to Eagles tonight.
So let's hear how this works, though. Are you a Bachelor tweeter, or do you wait till it's all over? Because you don't want to fall behind on social media, because then you'll get spoiled.
That's a good point. So I do like to live tweet The Bachelor. Sometimes I'll follow along, but tonight, just for you, I'm not doing it. But you know what? There's news to talk about, so here I am.
All right. Well, we appreciate that, Elliot. I will always remember that when you pause The Bachelor to hop on the show. All right, Elliot, today, a couple of things with running backs, or at least one, that maybe leads to another. Kareem Hunt was signed today. We know what happened at the end of the season with the video that came out. The Chiefs released him. There was always a feeling that maybe the Eagles can make some sense and they need a back, but he signs with the Cleveland Browns here. What do you think about the move, first of all, just him landing in Cleveland, and how do you think it impacts the Eagles?
So from an Eagles perspective, I guess I'm not overly surprised he didn't land here. I would think that, you know, they're a franchise, and they've certainly shown interest in the past in guys like Joe Mixon. You don't want to compare, you know, off-field incident, but they are a franchise that's giving guys second chances. So it would have made sense to some degree for them to do that with Kareem Hunt, considering the need they had for him. But that being said, he's in Cleveland. Strictly from a football standpoint, I think it's a great fit. I mean, I think the Browns are on the up and up. Obviously, adding a talent like that with Baker Mayfield is a really good fit. And then you combine the fact that the Steelers are kind of on the way down. I completely understand from a football perspective why Cleveland made the move.
Now, how does this impact the Eagles with the Browns? I saw you had a piece today, 94WIP.com, about Duke Johnson, who's probably, like for fantasy football players, everyone knows Duke Johnson, but for some people who don't play as much as others, he's kind of still an under-the-radar name, but he's a good player who might not have get many carries anymore in Cleveland.
Yeah, I mean, now he's probably third on that depth chart behind Hunt and Nick Chubb. So, you know, he's a guy that I believe I saw a quote today from the Cleveland GM saying he's not available yet, with yet being the key word there. I would think, you know, when they find out how long Hunt will be suspended, that's when you will see the Duke Johnson trade talk begin. But, look, Duke Johnson's a guy that, as you mentioned, you know, when I wrote the piece today, a lot of people tweeted back at me, no, we need the Eagles need a Le'Veon Bell type guy. And I agree, they need an impact running back, but they're also a team that likes to rotate their backs, and Duke Johnson would be perfect for them. He's had close to 1,000 total yards each of the last three seasons. I think he has around 13 total touchdowns, and he's really good out of the backfield. He averaged around 10 yards a catch last year. So the Eagles definitely need an improved running back that can catch the ball. Wendell Smallwood just didn't get the job done, and you can't trust Darren Sproles to stay healthy. So Duke Johnson, I think, would make a ton of sense for this team to go after in a trade.
Elliot Shore Parks, 94WIP.com, the Go Birds podcast with us here. Elliot, you wrote a piece today, kind of a primer for the offseason with a whole bunch of names and different categories of guys that are locks to be on the roster, guys that might not be on the roster. A couple caught my eye. Let's talk about them. One, in the I think you wrote it in the possible cuts section, Jason Peters. What's your thought on that, and why do you think there's a chance Peters is cut and not part of this team?
So I had him down as a cap casualty.
Okay.
And from that perspective, I don't think they're going to cut Jason Peters strictly because of play. You know, I mean, they would only move on from him because of salary cap reasons, but there is reason to move on from him salary cap-wise. I think they save around $8 million by moving on from him. And then you factor in, you know, the fact that he was in and out of the lineup last year. And I think he played, at this point, probably better than people give him credit for. I think a poor start to the season. And you see this with offensive linemen. They have one bad play at the beginning of the year, then all of a sudden they're labeled as terrible all year. But I do think he improved as the season went on. But the fact is he struggles to stay healthy. So for Jason Peters, if you can save that $8 million and move on from him, I think that is a move they'll consider.
Now, if they did that, if we got to that point, where would his replacement come from? They have picks. They could take one early in the draft, an offensive lineman. Or they could see if some of these guys they've been trying to develop, Jordan Mailata's name comes up a lot, could be ready. Do you think they would go in-house, or do you think they'd find another replacement somewhere else for Jason Peters if we got there?
Yeah, that's the tough part about moving on from Jason Peters, is that left tackles, especially good ones, they barely ever get moved. They're so hard to find that you don't normally see them traded or hit free agency. So if they were going to find a Jason Peters replacement, it would have to be in-house. And honestly, I don't think they have the answer there. I mean, Vitae is serviceable at best. And you mentioned Jordan Mailata. I think he has potential, but you would be putting him out there to guard Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz's blind side for his first NFL action ever as a starter. So that would be a huge risk. They have three picks in the first two rounds. I could see them looking for a tackle there, but that's the thing. If they move on from Peters, it creates a huge hole there that's going to be hard to fill.
One of the names you had in the possible trades section was Rasul Douglas. And I think it's interesting, not because I'd be shocked if Rasul got moved, but just because they have so much depth now after what happened in their last year at corner that they almost have too many guys. It's a good problem to have, and guys will get hurt, and maybe they'll need all these guys, but they can't. They likely can't keep all of these corners on this roster for next year because someone won't have any playing time unless there's a position change or a trade. What's your thoughts on Rasul here?
Yeah, it's interesting with the cornerback position. You're right that they have really good depth there, but they also kind of don't have any sure things. So on one hand, you know, Sidney Jones, Jalen Mills, Avante Maddox, maybe Ronald Darby's back, Rasul Douglas, certainly a lot of guys, but there's no one you can really say for next year you would feel super confident in. Now, in terms of trading Rasul, I think it could make sense on two levels. One, I think they're going to want to try to commit to Sidney next year on the outside, which, of course, would bump Rasul to a backup. And two, I think Rasul would have some value around this league. I think he's played pretty well when he's been out there. He certainly improved as last year went on. He's shown the ability to create turnover. So if the Eagles could land, you know, a fourth or a fifth round pick for him, I do think they would consider it.
Elliot Shore Parks, 94WIP.com, joining us here talking Eagles as we head into the offseason. Elliot, what's your take on the Kyler Murray decision today? The way I look at it is it could impact the Eagles from this perspective. Another possible first-round quarterback is now definitely in the NFL draft, where a couple weeks ago people weren't sure. Maybe he'd stick to baseball. Maybe he wasn't going to come play football. If Kyler Murray's a first-round pick, I would think that likely takes a team, a suitor, out of a possible Nick Foles mix, which maybe makes it a little harder on them if they're going to tag him and try to create a market.
Yeah, trading Foles is going to be hard for a lot of reasons, but the fact that Kyler Murray is now involved does make it a little more difficult because, as you mentioned, that's one more quarterback that's out there that's available. From the Eagles' perspective, there's two ways to look at it. One is picking number 25. If Kyler Murray does start to fall and the team that passed on him at the beginning of the draft wants to jump back in, I think the Eagles would be very interested in recouping a pick, maybe backing up a little, and letting that team come up and get Kyler Murray in the first round.
Kind of like this year's Lamar Jackson?
Exactly, because the value of having that extra year as a first-round pick, especially for a quarterback, can be, it's extremely valuable. But let me ask you this, Joe. Would you consider drafting Kyler Murray in the second round if you were the Eagles and he was still there?
So we're assuming Foles is gone.
Yeah, right. Foles is gone. So you need a developmental guy. Would you consider it?
Yeah, I would. I wouldn't do it in the first round because I just think that it creates so much. Like, all the Foles drama re-arrives now with a first-round pick quarterback. But at some point in the second round, I think they'd be foolish not to, especially because these picks aren't that expensive. It's not like they'd be taking up salary cap space for this player.
Right.
I would. The reaction here would be insane.
So I wouldn't, just because I don't think he fits the prototype of what they want. But look, from what you mentioned, I think with Foles leaving, you have to think about developing a backup. Obviously, you have Nate Sudfeld. And also just the ability to flip him. I mean, you take him in the second round, and maybe you can flip him. So certainly it would be interesting to see if he made it down there, what the Eagles would do.
Yeah, that is an interesting one. I'm sure we'll have that debate as we get closer to the draft. All right, Elliot, last thing tonight. We've been having a discussion. I saw a photo on Twitter circling around this weekend of, like, the four stars of Philadelphia sports in the early 80s. Mm-hmm. And it was, like, an old-school photo. So we're recreating it tonight. If you had to close your eyes right now, tell me who you see. Who are the four faces for Elliot Shore Parks of Philadelphia sports right now?
My gut reaction told me, in some order, Joel Embiid, Carson Wentz, Nick Foles, and Doug Peterson. I think those are the four faces right now that create the most attention. They're the most talked about, and I think they're the guys that really kind of embody and kind of show what Philly's all about right now with what we're talking about, and they create the most news.
I'm not surprised you went there, and you wouldn't be surprised to know that I had Nick Foles on my list as well.